When I felt the Lord directing us to begin a study through this book, I of course realized that we would be covering that which we're going to be covering this morning, and it is so needed and such an important, blessed topic. And I'm excited to be able to stand before you and with you this morning to see what God wants to say to us through this. But may I just quickly add that I never stand before you thinking I'm sufficient for the task. I never stand up here saying, okay, Lord, I got this one licked. Thanks, Lord, I can take over here. That'd be a disaster. But instead, be assured, I always stand before you with much fear and trembling. But this text is no exception. And I really do feel like, you know, who's sufficient for such an awesome message, you know? An awesome message that God wants us to hear and receive and walk in. And so I pray that he'd find in all of us an openness, a receptivity, if you will, a sensitivity to what we're about to look at, because this is pivotal, crucial stuff for every believer that we're about to consider this morning. Well, towards that end, let's look at, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Nothing unusual there. Just your average Sunday at church. Nothing controversial there. Well, most of us are familiar with this portion of Scripture, and we know that there is no shortage of people who want to debate and just kind of knock this thing around. But what's important to remember is it was given not just to intellectually consider, but to heart receive. For God here holds forward that which they and we need, continually need. We have come to a pivotal chapter in the history of the church, as well as in the life of every follower of Jesus. You'll remember, if you've been with us or if you're familiar with the passage, you remember what led up to this. They and we have received a commission to go be witnesses. But they're also told, don't you take one step towards that until you receive the power to do so. Don't you try to tackle what life throws at you. Don't you try to go out and represent me, God would say, until I work in you and upon you that which you need to do it. This morning, we come to that time that had finally come. He told them to wait for it, told them you need this, don't you take one step without it. Well, the time has now come, and how wonderful it all is. And how needed it is, not just for them, but for every one of us. I've called our time together, based on verse 4, really, I've called our time together this morning, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, forbid it that we would just approach this as some kind of an interesting topic to be intellectually considered and debated. Because you love us, and you've established that. Because you love us, you offer, you send this power. That we can have victory, that we can be witnesses, that we can go forward in the things of our lives, our days, and not have to do it on our own. Lord, how important this all is. So Lord, help us. Help us to hear what you'd say. Help us to receive what you'd want to do. Lord, shake off the familiarity of it all and help us hear this as fresh for us this morning. Lord, I do want to stop and lift to you all the ladies at the retreat and pray that you'll give them a neat wrap-up time, and let there be fruit from that weekend and all the ladies' lives and the families that they represent and all, let there be fruit that lasts unto you. But Lord, what we pray for them, we pray for us. Let there be fruit unto you from our time. Maybe go out of here walking in, receiving what you want to do. So, Lord, for us, for every classroom, everybody around here, have your way. And may you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get into the text per se, let me just mention something. Kathy and I were watching the news this week of the fires and all, and at one particular point in the week, they had the local supervisor, county supervisor, had a number of people up there with her in front of the cameras, and she was giving an update, and she was calling on each of these leaders of the different parts of government. She was calling them up, and they were giving an update on their portion of the government that they oversaw, the different efforts that were going on towards that. Now, please hear me out the whole way on this. I'm not speaking about government, but it did make me think about something, and there's an application for us here as a church and in the body of Christ. But I was watching her, and she would call up this person, the other person, and they would come up and speak about their portion of the response to the fires and all. And there was like 7, 8, 9 people up there behind her, of which one was a man, and all the rest of them were women. And that's awesome. That's awesome. That's great that the ladies were able to have those positions, and there's no problem with that. But the man was the fireman, the head of the fire department, the rest were all different ladies representative of different parts of the government. Now, I'm not speaking about, that's fine for government, fine. I'm not speaking that issue within government, but I want to say something. You know what? Unfortunately, you see that a lot of times in the church, in the body of Christ. And so now that I have some of you men here with the ladies gone to the retreat, don't get me wrong, ladies, this is for both genders this morning. This is for both genders. But I just want to speak to the guys, and hopefully you hear this with both a concern and a love for all you guys, and that is this. What we're about to consider right here, we need this. Men, as leaders in your home, we need what we're about to read about. As husbands, fathers, we need this. In the church, we need men to step up. So often when we have times where we're all ministering as a body, the women's ministry around here is cooking. It's probably one of the most cooking ministries we have. Awesome. And the ladies really step up. Guys, we need to be doing the same. If you already are, awesome. Don't get me wrong. We have a lot of guys that serve around here. And I'm not so much talking about service as a response in helping out. That's awesome too. But just receiving of the empowerment, that leadership, that gifting that God would have going on in us men. So men here this morning with love, but here it is a challenge too. So it's for both genders. But I guess I'm just asking, men, does the Lord really find us hungry for the power he wants to give us? I know work is hard. Work is honorable, and it's good you do it. Good that you provide for your home. But too often, that's kind of the highlight of our, we come home and plop down, and that's us. The Lord has more for us, guys. And he doesn't want us to even tackle that work without the power that he wants to offer. So consider, guys. Have open hearts to this. Well, let's consider all this. To view chapter 2 in context, let us go back. I want to remind you of a few things as to what this is about. And perhaps if you haven't been with us, it'll help explain it a little better. Go back to chapter 1. Look at verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he, that's Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Go down to verse 8. Jesus still talking to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's why it's often said that really this book should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's all about the Holy Spirit working in them and through them and continues down to this day for all of us. So having set the stage, let's look at it. Verse 1, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What's this day? What's this day that they're all gathered together on? Here it's called the Day of Pentecost. The Day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast. It was held 50 days after the Passover. Penta, 50. It's 50 days after Passover. There were three feasts that all Jewish males were required to attend if it was possible. They were to go up to Jerusalem and attend the feast. The three feasts were the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now just, it's interesting. In all the feasts, they point to Jesus. They point forward to Jesus. Take Passover. Passover celebrated the time when the children of Israel were captives in Egypt, but God delivered them. And as part of that whole process, you remember that the angel of death came. But if they took a lamb and took its blood and put it on the doorpost of their home, death passed over, didn't take the firstborn. But we saw that that was a pointing forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who if we will cry out, pray, Lord, apply that shed blood to my life, death passes over us. And at the Last Supper, Jesus showed how all that applied to him. It was pointing forward to him. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Passover message. Well, the next feast they're supposed to celebrate is Pentecost. Again, that's 50 days after the Passover. It's known as the Feast of First Fruits. Just briefly, at Passover, they did bring some of the barley harvest in as part of that. But Pentecost was when they would bring in the first of the wheat harvest. They would begin their wheat, they began harvesting. But they were supposed to take the first bundles of it and bring it in. It was an offering that was called the Feast of the First Fruits. You offer to God the first fruits. We're now harvesting. We're harvesting. The harvest has begun, and we're thanking you for it. So is the Feast of First Fruits. On this day of Pentecost, we're going to see, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead, the church now begins harvesting. There'll be this bringing in, so to speak. There'll be this saving going on. So we see that. And Jesus, in doing this now, in this work, we see the fulfillment of it as we see now the first fruits of the harvest of salvation. By the way, the third one is called Tabernacles. That's in the fall, right around our October or so. But for this morning, the point is, the day of Pentecost has come now, that feast day. That explains why there's so many people in Jerusalem again. Again, we'll see that in the coming weeks as they all respond to this event, the people there in Jerusalem. Pentecost. When Pentecost had fully come, interestingly, Luke puts it that way. It's been pointed out he might just mean, well, it was definitely the full day was there. But when you look back, you can see he's saying it was fully being realized. It was being fulfilled that day is the idea. It's the day that what it had always pointed towards, the symbol that it was, what it represented, on this day it is fulfilled. This is the day that had always been coming. And now it was here. Well, what happens on this day? Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. You're going to find in this verse and the next verse an interesting thing. Luke is trying to describe some events that are pretty indescribable. That's why we're going to see him use phrases here, as of. You'll notice it says here, they're just gathered together. They don't know that this is going to happen right then. They just know they've been told to wait, and so they're waiting, they're praying, they're waiting. It's the day of Pentecost. But then all of a sudden, a sound comes in. What kind of sound? It's a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It doesn't say it was a rushing mighty wind, but it was the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Not just a rushing wind, not just a mighty wind. Whatever Luke's trying to say here, it's a mighty rushing wind. I heard about someone that was interviewing another person who had gone through a tornado. And they asked him, what was it like? He said, it sounded like 1,000 locomotives just going right through here. That's what he's trying to describe. It just was just the noise of the tornado. Well, Luke is trying to say that. He doesn't say it's wind, it's as of. There's this sound that sounded like, well, it sounded like just a loud, just rushing, mighty wind. Shouldn't surprise us. We know that in Scripture, wind is a familiar emblem of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in John 3, he talked to Nicodemus about that, how the Holy Spirit's like the wind. You don't see it. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. All you do is see the effects of it. And he talks about the Holy Spirit being like that. What we see here, that there's this rushing, mighty wind. By the way, in the weeks ahead, we're going to see, this whole thing draws a big crowd. A lot of people come out to see what's going on. Maybe part of this is the noise. They say, man, what's going on over there? And they go check it out. So first of all, there's this experience of wind, well, a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Verse 3, the next step. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I mean, picture if you're Luke, you know, and you're hearing about this, because remember, he gathered all the story up. He went and talked to the guys that were there, and they're telling about it. I mean, how do you depict this? How do you depict this? And so again, he uses the phrase, what? He says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. It was like fire. Well, what does he mean there? Well, think of flames. Think of fire. This week, it's not hard to do that. We saw a lot of pictures of it. But think in general of flames. It says here, there are tongues as of fire. They're coming down, divided. That's a word that means they were separate. One source, but like separate. And they were like tongues. Now, don't picture, but touching, I mean, coming down upon each person. Maybe it did, I don't know. But it came down and touched each person. And he says, it's as of fire. What? When you look at fire, what do you ever sit around the campfire? Maybe you're out camping. We love to go camping. Watch the fire. And it's never the same. You know, you ever watch the fire? It's always flickering. It's flickering and moving around. And that's part of the idea here. It was coming down. It was just all random and touching everybody and flickering around, touching. And that's what he's trying to say here. Again, not your everyday experience. But it's the Holy Spirit coming down upon them to empower them. And then verse 4, this is what it's all aimed at. This is what they've been praying for, waiting on. It now happens. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Here is the fulfillment of what had been told them. This promise of the Father, here it is. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, here it is. They're being immersed in it. That's what baptism is about. This coming upon them is happening right then. Now, as you read this, and if you choose to look at it later, you can. In the weeks ahead, Lord willing, we will. But as you look at this, as this comes upon them, just a couple of things to notice briefly. When this comes upon them, whatever this sound of wind and these tongues of fire are all about, when it comes upon them, there is no doubt in their minds what has happened. Why is that an important deal? Well, you know, you don't see people, you don't see them here saying, was that it? I don't know. Did you feel something? Yeah, I think I did. Well, I don't know if I felt anything. I felt a little brush of air. Maybe that was it. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you know it. Well, I think I did. I prayed once. I kind of felt a little movement. You know it. They know it. You'll know it. When you're going through things, when you're empowered, when God moves, when God touches in your life, in a fellowship, in some time, you know it. You have to debate it. Well, I guess that's him. They knew. It was clear to them what had happened. And one particular reason was there was a manifestation of such. They began to speak with tongues in a language that wasn't their own, as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's he going to say? What's the pastor going to teach on this one? Oh, man. I'm not going to say anything about it right now. You're all going, oh, man. No, I'm not going to dodge the bullet completely. Matter of fact, I believe this deserves more attention than just a brief time in an overall message. Instead, Lord willing, next Sunday, I'm going to give a good majority of the time. We're going to go back and look at this very gifting, this manifestation of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Next week, we're going to tackle this issue of the gift of tongues and all. So I encourage you to come out on that. Kind of a tricky way to get you to come back, huh? But if you're interested in particular, and you'll see it's not all weird or anything, but just it deserves more than a brief discussion. And right now we're just kind of setting the table for what went on for them and what we need in our lives. I do want you to mention, notice this though. In verse 4, and they were how many filled? All. And how many spoke with tongues? All. Don't miss that. Each and every one of them knew it. How? Because they experienced a demonstrable expression of it in their life. They were able to lay their finger on it. Hey, this is not me. This is God doing it. Well, I guess this is just for special people. This powering, this baptism, I guess you have to be really spiritual. And yeah, I can see, well, maybe the pastor somehow gets this, but not for me. No, it's not about intelligence or earning it or anything like that. All, it's offered to all, it says. All were filled. Now the giftings, later on, Paul's going to teach about various gifts given to different people at different times for the work of the ministry. There's various giftings now that occurs. But the empowerment, the coming upon, available for all to receive and walk in. Now, having said that for this morning, I want us to look at some of the things that help us be in a place to receive this work. If we're going to experience this empowerment in our lives, individually or as a fellowship, I just want us to notice some things that were going on with them and amongst them and need to be going on in us. If you go back to verse 14 of chapter 1, you'll see a phrase that's going to come up a number of times in the book of Acts. For it says, these all continued with one accord. Do I dare say that that doesn't mean they all owned a Honda? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not seeing it. Since the second I said it, I have to repent of it. You know, that's corny, deal. No, it says they're all in one accord. It doesn't mean, boy, that was one crowded car. That's not the idea, of course. Okay, old joke. But it does tell us there, look at again in verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So it tells us one thing going on, one thing that helped them be prepared for this work was there was this one accord going on with them. The word accord means to have one mind, to be of one mind, or to be of one purpose, to be about one thing. It speaks of unity, that the Lord desires unity within his body, within the church. For him to be able to work in us and through us, there wouldn't be division. There wouldn't be all this infighting and pulling and tugging and all this, but we'd be of one accord. There'd be a unity amongst us so he could do all he wants to in and through us. As we study this text, this is a group of men and women waiting on God, seeking him in unity with each other. They resisted that which divides, and they gathered around him who unites. And that's always the key for us. Now, in saying unity, I'm not speaking of uniformity. God's not saying we all have to be clones of one another. In the military, you wear a uniform because they want uniformity, look a certain way, etc. They know who's who and who belongs where and all. But it's not speaking about that. Thank God we are us. I mean, if I said right now, don't answer unless you really want to, but if I said how many people here like country music? Oh, yeah, I do. And I might say to somebody else, well, who likes? Well, I'm not going to mention different kinds of music. It would just show that I don't know very much. And all those who are younger going, Pastor, that music's not even around anymore. But anyway, if I, you know, you're like, you know, certain kind, oh, yeah, I like that, I like that. See, that's okay. And we don't all dress alike. We don't have to drive the same kind of cars. That's not what it's talking about. Thank God that's not the idea. It's not uniformity, like all being clones. You know, check your brain, all things. No, but there's supposed to be a unity, be of one purpose, because they were of one purpose. And what was it? They had a unity around the person of the Lord, around the call, around the promise. They had a unity. We're going to wait here and because he told us to, because we want what we need. And he says we need. He's going to give it. And they were in one accord. And nothing's going to divide us from receiving all God would have for all of us. So there was a unity amongst them. Pray for unity in the body. Pray for unity in our fellowship. And resist the things that divide, the things that aren't necessary, that we get into big debates about stuff. Secondly, you'll notice this, look at verse 14, they all continue with one accord, what? In prayer and supplication. Prayer was a key part of the early believers, the early church there, waiting on God, seeking this power. But it wasn't just frivolous prayer. It was serious prayer, ongoing prayer, continual prayer, it says. See, serious prayer comes from serious hearts. Serious prayer comes from hungry hearts. Hearts that recognize our need. Hearts that have a desire for God. I want all that you have for me. I don't want to come short of that. And so they are praying with hungry hearts, serious hearts. It tells us in verse 14 in chapter 1 that they were there. And in chapter 2, they're still in that place. They're still in that attitude of prayer, one accord, waiting on the Lord about it all. So what do we see? There was prayer, there was unity, there was this continual seeking. There was a waiting on God. For Jesus told them, don't you move. You just wait right here until you receive the work I want to do upon you. This, he had to ascend, to send the Holy Spirit upon them. So wait right here. Boy, now that's a hard one. You know, we can do a lot of things, but waiting is hard. You know, you ever had been a place the Lord had you waiting on him? Maybe laying hold of a promise in Scripture, whatever it might be, and you're waiting on him. We don't wait well, most of us. Most of us, our waiting is like this. Lord, could you do that right now? If you can't, I'll give you an hour. I'll wait for an hour, Lord. And after an hour, we're like, come on, Lord, get with it. No, we got to learn to wait on his timing, on his sovereign work like this is, trusting his time and his ways. It's those who wait on the Lord that will rise up with wings as eagles. And so you have to learn to wait, and that's what they're doing. But one more thing that's interesting here. Way back in verse 4 of chapter 1, it records that they were told, wait. And since we find them doing that here on the day of Pentecost, what that suggests to us also is they did what they were told. They were in obedience. They didn't wander off. They didn't say, you know, we can do this. Let's go. They were obeying. So what am I saying? They were obedient. They were waiting. They were praying. There was unity. What we see here is that the fertile ground that the Lord desires, that there might be this empowering, this baptism with the Holy Spirit in a person's life or in a fellowship, is going to have certain things going on, and that's what these are. Again, it's not going to be our looks, our intelligence, anything like that. It's going to be this unity, this prayerful attitude, this heart hunger for his work. See, just as it is with salvation, this coming upon happens by us sincerely, humbly, from our hearts, asking. Really desiring. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. You're my only hope, but I see that now. Please. And if we mean it from the heart, not just an intellectual discussion, but a heart prayer, he takes us up on it. That's all he's looking for. And we're saved. Well, the same thing for this empowering. If the Lord sees us really hungry, sees us waiting on him, crying out to him, desiring it, we can be assured. If we ask, if we believe, if we just receive it by faith, he'll do it. But there's a certain preparation, so to speak. Pentecost was a divinely planned event. Meaning what we're reading about, this coming upon them of the Holy Spirit. It's not just some random thing, but it's part of God's specific plan for them and us. The coming of the Holy Spirit was as much a part of God's plan as all the rest of it that we celebrate and rejoice in. We have the incarnation. God planned that. That he'd send his son to take on the form of man. The crucifixion, designed by God. That his son would go to the cross to pay the price for our sins. That's part of God's plan to save us. The resurrection, part of God's plan to show us that indeed he conquered death, conquered sin, and all that's represented by the resurrection. And last week we saw the ascension, where Jesus did indeed go home to sit at the right hand of the Father, to intercede for all of us, and to send the Holy Spirit, it says. But all of that was God's plan. This is the next step. It's recorded, so we'd understand that. Now, if you walk in the other parts of it, how sad to come to this part and say, well, no, I think I'll just settle for this. I'm okay where I'm at. I got salvation. When he's saying, no, this is part of my full work I want to do. It's how you're going to receive why I did all this. To come back to know him, not just to go on the shelf, but to receive the power we all need. To be witnesses, to handle life, to be a blessing to others for the body ministry he wants to do in and through us. All of that, it's part of it. One pastor said this. He said, it seems to me that the average Christian and the average church are bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. Meaning this, he said, they have been to Calvary for pardon, but they've not been to Pentecost for power. Have you been to Calvary for pardon? Awesome. But I on hold. Come to Pentecost now for power. That's the call. That's the challenge. That's the offer. None of this was given to debate, which the church tends to do. They want to dissect this and intellectually discuss it and knock all these points around. Let's talk about this, that, and what was this wind and what was... It wasn't given to be cause intellectual, theological discussions. It happened that we might have power, spiritual power, to have victory in our lives, to handle. See, when that trial comes along at 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't have what it takes. I need this power. When things come along to pull us apart, I sure don't have it. I need this glue in my life, or else it's going to pull me apart. All these things that come along in our lives, everything, just to walk in and come and not come short of all he has, there has to be this openness, this receiving of the empowerment. That's the awesome call. So, it's not to be intellectually considered, it's to be heart received, heart acted upon. Now, make no mistake about it. Unity, prayer, they did not bring Pentecost about. God wasn't sitting there saying, oh, you know what, these guys are just so, they're praying so sincere. I guess, what can I do? Oh, I know what I'll do. No, they didn't cause Pentecost. Prayer, unity didn't bring about Pentecost, but it prepared them for it. It prepared them to receive the power that they needed. I stand up here in front of you, and I have a great privilege and a great calling. I get to teach on this and point to us and have us all consider it. But listen, I can impart information, but only the Holy Spirit can impart power. Oh, I could maybe whip up a bunch of emotions, I guess. I could tell you some great stories and have you laughing and get emotions tugged and let's get some tears going. Oh, what? Oh, the Spirit really moved in that service. Why? Because I cried and I laughed. I can impart information. I'm called to teach. But the Holy Spirit gives the power. And he wants to. And if you have experienced this, then you know, but I don't want to see any of us come short of it. Because there's an interesting thing going on here. I am going to be judged in a number of ways for your walk. The pastor experiences double judgment. And I'm responsible. Now, that doesn't take away your responsibility in all this. But it's a partnership. It's a partnership. I have the privilege, but the calling, to try to encourage all of us, to nurture. To call all of us to not come short. And so here's the deal. Information, that'll help you know about Jesus. Empowerment, that will help you know Jesus. And there's a lot of difference. You can know about Jesus without knowing him. But if we receive, if we just daily be hungry and receive and act upon that which he offers, then we know him. And there's a world of difference. So make sure you know him, that you love him. When I hear people say, well, Jesus, I just have to challenge, say, yeah, but he wants you to know. He wants you to know the power. He wants you to know the victory. He wants you to know the peace. But that just comes from a personal knowing. The call is available. He has it for you. He's no respecter of persons. He wants to work that fresh, awesome, empowering work in every one of our lives daily. As Scripture later says, be ye continually filled, it says, with the Holy Spirit. We continually need that filling. That's the idea. So filled that we splash out, like torrents of living water. So filled it splashes out on everybody around us. That's the privilege. That's the calling. It's my plan to dedicate our next communion afterglow service. We have that the first Wednesday of each month. I can't believe we're coming upon June already. But that first week of June, that Wednesday night, we have our communion afterglow night. It's my plan to dedicate that night specifically to a time of seeking this baptism of the Holy Spirit that it talks about here. I pray between now and then, be hungering, be praying. If that's something that you are interested in, want to just come out and pray for, be a part of, ask God to work in every way he wants, then I invite you, please come out at that time. For it is to be body ministry. It's for all of us. But we're going to really kind of focus that. So I encourage you to just to join us as we all seek God together on our next afterglow night. Next week, Lord willing, speaking in tongues. What is it? Is it scriptural? Is it even for today? Lord willing, we'll tackle that next week. Meanwhile, I'm going to invite the worship team up because we're going to close now in response. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord. Let's thank him for the empowering. Let's thank him for who he is and what he offers to us, what he gives us, that we can't go out of here walking in that power, that we don't have to tackle these things on our own. By the way, we always want to make sure you know that there are prayer partners available back in the far left-hand corner. But also, the altar's up here. No one's going to bug you. If it's meaningful for you to come up, whatever might be going on in your life, if you'd like to come up and say a word of prayer, no one's going to bug you. Maybe you'd like to come up and just pray about what you've heard today, whatever it is. The altar's always available towards that end also. Well, let's pray. Father, we stand before you, and we're just in awe of the love that you continually have for us and demonstrate towards us, pour out upon us. How we thank you. I know that I know, Lord, that you are faithful, and when we cry out, you answer, and you strengthen us, and you empower us, and you hold open this for us to be heart received. Help us to do that. Lord, in this time now, we choose to respond. We choose to praise and worship you. But we just want to say thank you. Thank you for what this all says about you and who you are to us. All glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.